I've already enjoyed the service. Hope you have too. Had my dad preach tonight. His name is Dan Crawford. It's hard to say his first name. My dad has been a Bible vocational pastor before. He's pastored one church for 2 or 3 years and then pastored out in Snyder for 12 years. Last 10 or so years I've been in Duncan, Oklahoma. I talk a lot about the farm that I went to when I was a kid, my grandparents there, and now my dad lives on that same farm. And farm, by that we mean there's not raising anything except a few cows, but Dad stays busy. I was just asking him, I knew this was the case. He's a deacon there at his church and teaches Sunday school, helps on the bus route, helps on the Wednesday night program, helps. You still doing children's church, helping children's church too? Yeah, he's done that as well. Dad's just my dad. And so if there's jobs to be done, he's there. And here's a deacon and a lay person who spends a lot of time. He retired a couple of years ago, so he just kind of been the assistant with there at the church and helping. And I appreciate my testimony of my dad. And y'all know how I feel about him. He's got about 25 minutes to preach tonight. So let's do it. Let's do it. All right. And Dad, I announced this morning you were preaching tonight, so they're all here of their own volition, knowing that you were preaching. So, yeah. So
I probably would have run, but somebody sign up. I think we all ought to do whatever God allows us to do. Whatever God puts in your hands, do it. You know. It may. All right, what's wrong?
I won't be able to hear you. So.
Well, you want me just to up the volume a little?
Yeah, you can do that. I know you can.
Hmm?
My dad chose to be on. Yeah, Dad has never needed extra volume. He would be fine in here without.
I wing it. Wherever I was, huh? Oh, did you say go to the last? I was at the last point. Oh, that's why. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, please. Let's just get with it. I don't know. I hope you get something out of this. And I'm all thumbs sometimes. The title of the message is The Battle for the Mind. If you don't have one, well, I guess there's no battle. I don't have much of one, you know. But that much still gives you a big battle, you know. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Heavenly Father, bless your word. Your word is true. Your word is pure. Your word is powerful. And God, it's our only hope and our only help, because it's the written word given by the living word. And we need your blessings tonight. We need to understand, Lord, the word. To understand how we're to stand against the devil and against all of his forces. Help us, each one here tonight, to get something out of this message. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. We are in a daily battle. Each one of us has to battle Satan every day. Satan is not some little fairy tale. He's not some little guy you see on the cartoons with a pitchfork and a forked tail, horns. He can be an angel of light. He can be anything, but he is powerful. He is nothing compared to God, but he is powerful. And he invades us. He opposes us. He attacks us. I don't know why it is, but I've even noticed since I've lost my wife, it seems like the battle has even been more so. I don't know why, but I do know that He prays on my mind. And I do understand that the battle is in our minds, for our minds. He says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That means if it's not carnal, it means it's spiritual. Our weapons are spiritual. Our weapon is the Word of God. To the pulling down of strongholds, that means sins, habits that have a hold and a grip on us. Such as drugs, alcohol, tobacco. It could be your temper. It could be your carnal thoughts. For we all have been, had stuff put in us. We've watched stuff. We've read stuff. We've listened to stuff. We've heard stuff. And that all goes right into this fantastic little computer God gave us, the brain, which is part of the mind. But let me rephrase that. It's not the mind, because the brain's going to stay in the coffin. But it is the computer for our body. Strongholds are the things that I talked about. Drugs, alcohol, tobacco, all these things. It could be your temper, your carnal thoughts. Casting down imaginations. Allowing the mind to stray, to run amok, or even to be in neutral. Anything that we have seen, read, or can imagine, pornography, romance books, love books, whatever you've looked at on TV, commercials. That's why it's important what we be careful of what we look at and what we hear, and what we read, and what we see. Amen? Casting down every imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Any book, any TV program, or thought that causes us to doubt God, to rebel against God, or run from God. God doesn't like it. So He's given us weapons. Spiritual weapons. Satan never tires of attacking us. Maybe you've had that experience daily in your life. Even with the Lord in His temptations, when the Lord rebuked Satan 3 times, it said Satan went away for a season. I get from that our Lord was tempted more often after that. It could be that He was tempted daily, opposed daily. We see that from the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders of that time. Who do you think was behind all that mess? Well, who do you think's behind Hollywood? Who do you think's behind a lot of books that are being published? Satan never tires. He has a great arsenal of sin that he wants us to be involved in. We can see it throughout our world. Murder. On news every night. Murders. Abuse. Pornography, thefts, killings, selfishness, hatred, unforgiveness, bitterness, lust, witchcraft, false religions, false doctrines, and counterfeit Bibles. He never tires. There is a war raging for control of your mind and my mind. Teenagers, for your mind. Your mind is a strategic hill that Satan wants to take in this war. Even this old mine. Why he wants it, I don't know. Well, one thing, I guess I do know. For one thing, if he could get Grandpa to fall, if he could get Grandpa to sin, if he could get Grandpa to rebel, if he could get Grandpa to run, what would that do to my sons and what would that do to my grandchildren? So why would he want an old mind like me to fall? That's probably the best reason I know of. Throw away your testimony. Throw away your life. Throw away your marriage. Throw away your opportunities and abilities to witness. Be careful. And how you use your Bible determines who controls your mind. What you look at on TV determines who will control your mind. What you read in books and magazines determines who will control your mind. Who do you want to control your mind? I don't want Satan controlling my mind. I wish he'd get out of my mind and leave me alone. And he does for a season. But that rascal always comes back. See, God wants to control our minds. Amen? Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." We must constantly be renewing our mind by God's Word and by hearing God's Word and by going to church and by hearing Sunday school lessons and hearing the Bible taught and hearing sermons. I like to download sermons on my phone so I can hear sermons, so I can listen to more sermons. It's amazing how many cassette tapes I at one time had. I was cleaning out a store room, cleaning up and burning stuff, and I said, "That's terrible. I'll never use these again." You know, with a CD, with, you know, everything you got nowadays, where I can just, you can just download it on your phone. What do you like to listen to? What do you like to watch? God wants control of our minds. He doesn't want Satan having control of our minds. A child of God needs their mind renewed. Psalms 119:9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto the word of God." Amen? Amen. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." I'm so thankful as a young Christian, I spent a lot of time with 3x5 cards printing out scriptures. I had decks of them that I memorized because I can't do it anymore. Sorry, when you get old, you lose some of that. I don't know what, I guess it has something to do with the wrinkles in your brain or the wrinkles on your face. I'm not sure. But God's Word will change your heart. God's Word will draw you closer to Him. God's Word will show you who God is and what He can do, and how He can use you, and how He wants to use you, and how He loves you. God's Word can transform your mind and can transform your life. I know there's no other book like it. We must program our minds. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, if you would please. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. You'll get an idea here. Ephesians 5. Somebody come show me where Ephesians is on. I tell you sometimes. Ephesians 5, verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." But let me turn this toward you and me, how God wants us to take God's word and wash ourselves. Cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of this world. Saturate your mind with God's word so nothing else can get in. Did you hear that, teenagers? Spend time in God's Word every morning before you do anything else. Memorize God's Word. Word I was trying to think of. What do you, Brother Clark, what do you call when you take one tree and put it to another tree? Grafting. Engraft the Word of God into your soul and into your mind. I couldn't find it. It was somewhere up here in this mind. It was up there somewhere. I needed help. But you know, you find that Scripture in the Word of God. Amen. Engraft the Word into your soul and into your heart. Reprogram your mind. How much Bible are you getting? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. verse 3. See, Satan wants to control your mind. God wants to control your mind. Who would you rather have control your mind? I want God to be in control of my mind. How about you? I want God's Holy Spirit to have a great influence on my mind. I want God's Word to have an influence on my mind. But Satan wants to have control, but I ain't going to let him have control. How about you? It says here, what happened to Eve? Verse 3, but I fear lest any means the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, deceit, in other words, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Our minds, a lot of us, have already, before we ever got saved, before we ever came to Christ, we were corrupted. Amen? But even sometimes, even after we're saved, we still do things, watch things, see things, read things that corrupts us. Teenagers, you know this. I don't want to be corrupted. That's why all of us need to learn to use the switch. Or I love the DVR. Amen? Eve was deceived. Don't be deceived. God is all powerful. Satan is not. Satan wants control. Don't let him have control. He said to Eve, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Are you sure God said that? How many times have you had that thought? Are you sure you're not supposed to be watching that? It's all right. This book's okay. Well, don't be deceived. Be careful. Huh? He said, ye shall not surely die. Liar. John chapter 8 says, he is a murderer and the father of all lies. He was a liar, murderer from the beginning. Amen? And the father of all lies. And he'll lie to you in a minute about anything and about everything. Satan wants us to question God. Satan wants us to doubt God. Satan wants us to disobey God. We must be determined we're going to love God and serve God and walk with God. I ask you again, what do you watch? What do you listen to? What do you read? What do you play? And that's just for the saved people. Eh? He already has the unsaved right where he wants them. Amen? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just in case there might be somebody here tonight that's not saved. You cannot understand even the gospel without the Spirit of God revealing it to you. So I pray tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, that the Spirit of God will reveal to you that God loves you and that Christ died on the cross for your sins and my sins, and that He wants to save your soul. And His blood will take away all your sins and wash you white as snow. But it says here, this is Satan's desire. But if our gospel, verse 3 of chapter 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus Christ. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. And then it goes on to talk about we have this in our earthen vessels. I have Jesus in my heart. Do you have Jesus in your heart? Satan says, Satan would blind you. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, he'd say, just stay lost. You're all right. Everything's okay. Don't come to the altar during the altar call. Just stay in your seat. You got plenty of time. After all, you're not all that bad. And I'll tell you, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The older I get, the more wicked I see in myself. Even though I'm saved and I know the Lord. And this son of mine, he says he's done this and he's done that. I haven't done nothing. Except what the Lord gave me opportunity to do. And I hadn't done probably half of what he meant for me to do. How about that? But Satan would blind your mind and say, you're all right. Just stay right there. You'll be okay. After all, God loves you. See, he don't care. He don't mind that. God wouldn't send you to a devil's hell. No. No, but your sins will. Satan wants control over our minds. Satan corrupts our minds. Amen? Saved and lost. He shoots his fiery darts, his carnal thoughts. How does Satan battle us? Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Son, you got a first buzzer and second buzzer? Oh, the first one's already rung? Too bad. I'm hard of hearing anyway. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says this, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as other. And Satan would say, go back! Go back where you were! Wasn't that fun? Go back to your old life. Go back to your old sins. Go back to your old lust. Go back and do the things you used to do. See? He corrupts. He would corrupt us. He would deceive us. His weapons are many. He would pervert our minds. Look at chapter 4 of that same book. Verse 17 says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles. In other words, don't walk as a lost person, Brother Clark. Amen? Walk with the Lord. But Satan don't want that. Amen? Walk in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, that's all kinds of sexual perversion and sexual sins, to work all uncleanness and greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. Brothers and sisters, we have learned better. I read in the book, be ye holy even as I am holy. And I don't believe God would have told us that if it were not possible. Don't we sooner or later mess up? Well, yeah, I do. How about you? But you know what my daddy told me? I'll pick on Brother Clark again. You know what my daddy taught me? If you fall off the horse, you what? What? Get back on. So if I mess up, if I sin, I what? I get back up and I walk on. How about you? But Satan would have us stay down. Satan would say, you're no good. Satan says, you can't do it. You can't overcome me. You can't overcome that sin. You can't overcome that stronghold. You can't overcome all those things in your life. But God says, yes, you can. Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. How does Satan battle us? By perverting our minds, by putting the thoughts in our life to go back, go back, go back. I know someplace here I'll just have to cut it off, but I'll give you an example. And if I've ever told this, maybe some of you heard it, some of you hadn't. Before I got saved, I was a good old chewing tobacco chewer. I loved that red man. You could open up a package and I could hear it, I could smell it plumb across the room. My great uncle chewed it, my uncle chewed it, my dad chewed it. So why not? I ought to chew it. And so I had that habit for about 12 years. After I got in church and got saved, I gave it up and began to give that whole $3 or something to missions. That was pretty good money when chewing tobacco was 25 cents a pouch. I quit chewing that old stuff, that old nasty stuff. A couple years later, somebody whispered in my ear, you ought to be able to enjoy a few things. After all, that tobacco ain't all that bad. So I got me a package and I started chewing it. And I chewed it for a few days. You know what happened? My whole mouth broke out in ulcers. Amen. I mean, the worst, I'm not talking about a little ulcer. I'm talking about a whole mouth full of ulcers. You talk about hurt. And I think God was saying, son, amen. I helped you overcome that stronghold. I helped you overcome that and quit that. I think you better put it down again. Because the next thing might be my whole mouth rot off. But Satan wants us to go back. He'd have you go back. Revisit your old life. Revisit the past sins. Oh, and by the way, that's who also brings up the thought of past sins. God cast them into the depths of the sea. God throws them as far as the east is from the west to remember them no more. But Satan's the only one that brings them up. Amen? I hate that. It's terrible when you start feeling guilty over something you've done 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago that God's put under the blood. Amen? He trashes our mind. He pollutes our mind with his fiery darts. You know, you're supposed to take that shield of faith whereby you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What do you think he's talking about? He's talking about those carnal thoughts. He's talking about, it's all right to chew tobacco. It's all right to smoke. It's all right to look at pornography. No, it's not. Our weapons. Our weapons to defeat Satan. Look back there. Let's turn back to 2 Corinthians, please. I'm almost done. I'm going to cut off the last point. Is that all right? No, don't say nothing. 'Cause Brother Clark said, my son already preached that last point this morning anyway. I don't know if he's telling me the truth or not, or if he's just trying to get rid of me. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to obedience of Christ. The weapons of our warfare, first of all, is to repent of the sin of allowing Satan to have an intrusion into your mind. Ask God to forgive you. Because he can't stay there unless you allow him to stay there. You can come against him just like Jesus did. And you can cast him away and run him away. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen? That's what 1 Peter... Turn to 1 Peter, please. I want to read that. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8, 9, and I think 10. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walk about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. For there is no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful and will not suffer you be tempted above that which you are able. Don't be so silly to think that you're the only one that's ever had a lustful or dirty thought or rebellious thought or a doubtful thought about God or any other sinful thought, because we're all of the same flesh. He says, resist. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Satan can't do a thing unless God said, go ahead and try it. Because God has faith in us. Isn't that something, that God has faith in you? And so he tells us to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Turn back just a couple pages to James chapter 4. Verse 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You know, being attacked by Satan is no fun. Giving in to Satan is terrible. It makes you feel horrible sometimes because you feel like you have failed the Lord. And so God says, yeah, I'll just kind of roll over in that mess for a little while. Then resist him. And God says, I'll pick you up. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I'm here for you. Amen. See, we're in a battle for our minds. Yep. And the only reason I preach this today is to encourage me. No, encourage you too. You see, God's Word encourages me. It lets me know I'm not alone in this mess. Amen. It lets me know that all my brothers and sisters are under attack too. But God is for us, and God will strengthen us, and God will help you. If you have a stronghold, if you have a problem like it's talking about, go to God with it. You know, when I first got saved, there's a couple of things I knew I was raised right. I knew we were wrong. I said, God, help me with my filthy mouth. Because I'd been out in the oil field for several years, and I'd already picked it all up. Amen. Say, God, help me with my filthy mouth. He took it away from me. Say, God, help me with this tobacco problem. He took it away from me. Amen. And we could go on. The harder things was things like bitterness and forgiveness and jealousy and temper. And those are the things that, to me, are harder. But I tell you, there is no temptation taking you, but such a common man. But God will... is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able to withstand. I say it again, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape.
Amen.
We're in a battle for our minds. Stand. Did you use Ephesians this morning, chapter 6? Is he telling the truth? What does that thing say? Stand? Withstand? Armor of God? Yeah. So I won't repeat that. So you know to put on the whole armor of God. Amen? If you want to go over it again, open your Bibles when you go home tonight and read it. You stand and bow your heads, please. Maybe something's touched your heart tonight. Maybe you've been visited by that old roaring lion called the devil. And he's been preying on you. He's been preying on your mind. He's been after you. He wants to make you useless, helpless. But you're not useless and you're not helpless. You got God on your side. So if there's something you need to go to God with, and something you need to go to God about, that's what this altar's for. Heavenly Father, I pray this night, dear God, you would touch hearts. You would encourage those Christians who have been hurt, those Christians that have been bruised, those Christians who Satan has roared at, who he shot his fiery darts at. May they come to you with their problems, with their sins. May they resist you. May they repent. May they get things right. May they renew their relationship with you this night. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.